Hello and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast. I'm Gunnar Gimli and tonight my panellists are, first up, he's still fat and he still has to be here. It's Danny the GFP.
Top of the morning to you and all my brethren, even though I'm English.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, fat man.
Because unlike a lot of people in other countries, I don't claim to be Irish and celebrate St. Patrick's Day because I was born in England.
Your mum's Irish, though, isn't she? So that makes you a little bit Irish.
No, it doesn't. I'm 100% English because that's where I was born. Like, you're 100% Welsh.
Okay, have you finished being racist yet?
Yes.
Next up, ABW's only lady and the one that keeps us all in check. It's Gunnar Girl Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Nice to have you back, my lovely.
Nice to be back.
And since we've last spoken to you, you've started a new job. Is that confirm or deny?
Confirm.
Lovely stuff.
And what's the in the normal callers to moronic people who are holding their phone upside down ratio?
I've not had any of them yet. I'm not really supposed to go into this. Shh. A woman who left a phone in a shop, yeah. And had to. Wanted me to ring the shop up to find out if her phone was in there when I had the same number that she was doing and she'd come through to me. I'm not quite sure she wanted me to do it. Fly over there and see, but that's
it. You made that up for entertainment purposes in case anybody from your company is listening.
I did. It was all made up.
Lovely. These are not the thoughts of a Burkamp Wonderland podcast, and if all Vodafone customers are as thick, then... I think we have to worry. Next up, I'm addicted to his blogs, so that makes me a Goonaholic. But there can only be one, and he's here tonight. Hello, David.
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me again, Gimli.
Do you know what? That's the one enthusiastic intro that you're going to get all year.
I know. I'm well used to the form.
And I'd like to say we didn't waste it on you, because it was received gratefully.
Most gratefully. And by the way, although I was born in England, I have got the Guinness on the go.
Lovely stuff. I've got energy can. And finally, ex-Arsenal goalkeeper and long-time friend of the show, back by popular demand, it's Rami Shaban. Hello, Rami.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for inviting me again. And it's have my espresso here for St. Patrick's Day, so...
For those of you that haven't listened to Rami on our fine show before, he is a lover of coffee, aren't you, Rami?
Yes, that's much more of that than the Guinness.
Yeah, lots and lots and lots and lots of coffee. We'll kick on then, and we'll start off proceedings by going straight over to my brother Buddha for all of the scores across the board and a low match.
Right, okay. Damien Martinez, Wolves, still sub, not playing. Yaya Sanogo, suspended. Matthew Debuchy, torn muscle, so he's not playing. Gideon Zelalem. He's not played in 3 weeks, and some kind person on Twitter has told me that the manager has said that he isn't quite fit yet. He should be ready next week. Ainsley Ashley Maitland-Niles.
Conservative.
He came on for the last 2 minutes in the 1-0 away win at Cardiff for Ipswich and didn't play in the 2-0 home win over Blackburn Rovers. Isaac Hayden and Chupa Chupa Akpom for Hull City. Chupa and Zach both started in the 1-1 home draw with McDonald's, the Scottish team. And Chupa Chupa came on for the last 10 minutes in the 1-1 draw at home to Nottingham Forest. And Zach was an unused substitute. Super John Turrell, future Bulgarian international, or whatever country he picks.
Spanish.
Yeah. John started in the 0-0 away draw with Wolves and played in the Sanchez role. And I watched a little bit of that between the game against... who were we playing? I think it might have been Hull. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, I watched that during half-time and it was quite an entertaining game, even though it ended 0-0. Wellington the Boot Silver. He came on for the last 20 minutes in the 2-1 loss to Preston. After this, their manager, Neil Lennon, was sacked. Personally, I don't blame Wellington Silva because he's not doing too bad because he's in the team of rock bottom of the league. Even Charlton are leaving them behind. Glenn Kamara. Hey, if I had a party popper, I'd pull it. Southend United started.
What the hell was that?
You know, if you pull a party popper, didn't you? It goes bang and all the streamers come out. It's a celebration for Glenn Kamara.
I think at a party, you'd be the one sat there in the corner looking miserable, waiting for the taxi to go home.
I don't get taxis and I wouldn't have turned up. He's a Finn. He plays Finland. He's born there. Or is it Iceland? It's one of those two. One with the blue and white flag. He started in the 2-0 away win over Barnsley, playing in a lone defensive midfield role behind the two central midfielders. Wojciech Szczesny of Roma, he started again as they beat Udinese 2-1, and that is 8 straight league wins for Roma. That is massively impressive because they had a dodgy run around Christmas. Bit of sad news. We surprisingly lost 1-0 to third place Aston Villa, and Serge Gnabry started his first... There's no G in that, is there? Serge Gnabry started again... started for his first under-21 game of the season. Villa now above us in second place, but we still have 3 games in hand over the leaders, Derby, who have 5 more points than us. So that's turning into a bit of a slobber knocker, I think. The under-18s, they lost, amazingly. That's 10 losses out of 25 games. They lost 2-1 away at West Brom. Nikita scored yet again, which is his 16th goal in 24 games. Keep an eye on that bloke. Maybe we have a decent season next season. He'll get even more. Ladies haven't started the season yet. And I'm done.
Wow.
There you go.
Did you have, like, an injury thing as well? Are you doing injuries this week?
Do you want me to do an injury myself or tell you about them?
Oh, you can do an injury to yourself. I think that'd be quite funny for life.
No, okay. I'll slip on a banana skin. That Flamini, he's got a thigh issue, non-specified, so we don't know the date. Jack Wilshere, any day now, so I wouldn't rush him back because the season's over. Santi Cazorla, he has got a lateral ligament tear, 2 weeks. Petr Cech, not Peter. If I hear one more person calling Peter, I'm going to hit them. He's 2 weeks and he's got a calf strain. Aaron Ramsey, thigh strain, 3 weeks. The Ox, a knee, non-specified, 5 weeks. Thomas Rosicky, 6 weeks, thigh strain. And the Corporal Jenkinson, cruciate ligament tear, known as an ACL, 4 months. And as usual, thank you very much to the people at arsenalreport.com for your wonderful injury room stuff. You're lovely people.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So first on the agenda tonight is our FA Cup loss to Watford. Where do we start with this one? David, I'm going to throw you under the bus. I apologise, mate.
Yeah, thanks for that. Funny old Sunday it was, wasn't it? I thought on the Saturday when Chelsea went out at Everton, the team most likely to beat us at Wembley had gone and the way was clear for us. And then on Sunday... nice sunny day. I'm walking in the ground. I was chatting to a guy called Richard. Said, I love these spring days when the sun's out and we got the sun on our backs because we generally tend to play our best football in those conditions. And then got in and we watched more of the same. If you've been watching Arsenal of late, we completely controlled the first half. So there's no complaint in that respect. But we played with a lack of pace or urgency. Everything was laboured. There was a lot of side-to-side stuff looking to pull defenders laterally, but not pull them out of position. And as a result, it was no surprise that we came in at 0-0 at half-time, thinking that, well, OK, now they'll go and pick themselves up in the second half. But unfortunately, it was Watford who picked themselves up and got a goal when Igalo, for some reason, found himself one-on-one against Gabriel on the edge of the six-yard box and turned him far too easily and gave Ospina no chance. And that kind of... you thought that would shake us into a reaction then, but it didn't. And then they get a second, which you have to hold your hands up and say sometimes. It's a wonderful strike by the fella whose name nobody can pronounce. But he drilled one into the top of the net from the edge of the box. The only criticism you could have was that he was unmarked out there and nobody came to close it down. But it sparked this feral reaction inside the ground where supporters turned on the team, turned on the manager, turned on each other. And it took us a while to get out of that. I'm sure that transmits itself to the pitch and the players feel it. Perhaps Rami would be able to help us with that later. But for the last 20 minutes, we threw on Danny Welbeck and Theo Walcott and Alex Iwobi. And it took them a little while, but they did raise the tempo. And of course, right near the end, Danny Welbeck got the goal that gave us just a sniff of a chance and then had another opportunity, which I thought was possibly easier to get the equaliser. But he just screwed it wide as he was on the turn. And that was it. Cue boos at the final whistle and yet more unpleasant scenes. Not a great day to be an Arsenal fan.
No. And we'll go back to the first half, where you rightly said, David, Arsenal had the majority of the possession. They had more shots on goal and the better clear-cut chances. But really, I would say probably the one thing that really stood out, or the one moment of the match in the first half that stood out, was that horror tackle by Gabriel. Now, Rami, for you, is that a straight red?
Yeah, to be fair, I wouldn't complain if the ref would have given us straight red, to be honest.
No. And as the game went on, we might have been better if he had got a red, because we might have defended a bit tighter had it come to that first goal. But Rami, we'll stick with you. Gabriel had a poor game, and he was at fault for the first goal. I mean, what do you make of him as a defender? Would you have been happy to have him in front of you if you were in goal?
I think the problem is it's not about his skills or how he is. It's about consistency. I think it's always difficult to have a defender. I think he's a little bit like Kolo. When he was, you never knew what was going to happen. And when you get the chance, you want to show the boss that you really want to be the first choice. And it's always difficult to find the level of, the level of composure. That day wasn't his day. I mean, it's the problem with the back four. I mean, you need consistency, and you haven't had that, unfortunately.
No. And we'll continue that by, of course, Arsenal going in at half-time. We're lucky that Gabriel hasn't been sent off. We've had the run of the play, the better possession. And I think there wasn't an Arsenal fan that didn't think that we could have gone out second half and maybe put one or two past Watford. But that wasn't the case, was it, Kate? We had, like I said, a sizable amount of the possession, but we kept getting caught on the break. Should we have learned from this? Because this isn't the first game where we've been attack, 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 and we've been kept getting caught out. Should Arsene Wenger have mixed it about to try and counteract this?
I think there's some certain amounts to be said that he could have changed it around, but where could he have changed it around? Who could he have brought on to change it? We should have taken more chances. There's the go back to the old thing, shoot more. But we did have more possession in the first half. We just didn't take our chances, and Watford deserved to win. You can't deny the fact. I mean, I know Arsene Wenger came out afterwards and said, no, we should have won it, but we didn't. There's no way you could defend the fact we didn't win it. That's all there is to it. I've never been so gutted as I was on Saturday. I love the FA Cup, and it was heartbreaking. I was gutted for the rest of the day.
Cry.
I did. I nearly did on Saturday.
She genuinely was gutted on Saturday.
I love the FA Cup. It's my favourite cup in the world. And it up to the beginning of the match, I always try and be very positive and be like, yes, we can win it. First half, Gimli sat there, we're going to go to Barcelona, we're going to get whooped. Yeah, but I'm like, nope, we can still go in, we can turn it over, we've done it before. Second half, kind of didn't feel like that anymore. And I've never felt like that before. It was one of those horrible, pivotal moments in my history as an Arsenal fan.
No, and from what David said, it sounded like it turned in the ground as well. Rami, just how much of the atmosphere do you get from the fans when you're playing and it's not going your way? And how does it feel to be on that pitch when, you know, you just can't get a decent rub of the green?
I played it at Highbury, and it was, to be fair, the difference was there was always belief. I mean, we were on a good run. We had goal scorers that made over 20 goals a season. So I think when at this stage, when you go down one or two, it's like you can see it on the fans that this is going to be so hard. But at my time, when we went down one or two, there was always belief, and there was always like positive thinking around Highbury. And that, of course, lifted the players as well. But nowadays, I can't see that same belief.
No.
If you understand what I'm... It's like, it goes hand in hand. I mean, if we had players like Thierry Bergkamp, we knew they could change the game. But these days, we don't have those players.
No, it's very true. Danny, you've sat there and you've listened to everything, and you are an advocate of the Wenger out campaign.
Yeah. No, if we win, I'm happy. If we lose, I'm angry. I wouldn't say I'm either in nor out.
So you're angry?
Yes. No, I'm not angry. I'm used to it now. I'm apathetic. I don't really care anymore.
Really?
There's no point. If you're looking at that game against Watford, it was a little bit like Watford were a gladiator going into the gladiatorial arena to take on 11 big, angry, world-famous lions. And after about 45 minutes, the gladiator realises not only are the lions all blind, but they've got no teeth. And they went, oh, this is going to be easy. And they went off and won it. Troy Deeney was absolutely amazing. He got both the assists. With that goal I don't even know how you say his name. Adeleni, so that's what I'm going to call him by his first name. That pot shot is what Arsenal should be doing more often. And the main problem with what we do at the moment, we had 20 shots at goal. They're not on target. Ian Wright used to be able to, you could blindfold him, spin him in a circle for an hour, and then he would get the shot on target, no matter where on the pitch that he was. And that's something we can't do anymore. Every single one the vast majority of the shots we have seem to be, they're too high, they're too wide. It almost looks like Santi Cazorla has been giving everyone else shooting practice, where not a single ball is on target. Well, that's actually a lie. I'll tell you how many are on target. Out of the 20 shots, 4 were on target. I mean, that kind of ratio, that's less than a 20, that's about a 22% on target ratio, which is absolutely disgraceful. And considering Watford only had 7 shots on seven shots and 2 were on target, which is going to be about about 30 odd percent on target. And they didn't even have their best goalkeeper. They had Pantilimon playing in goal. And he's not even their best player.
Who cheated for the majority of the game as well?
Oh, at one point he held the ball for 2.5 hours. Everyone got their deck chair out, and I think that the commentator said when he got the yellow card, he held the ball, or he was in possession of the ball for 30 seconds. At one point later on in the game, he was in possession of the ball for 31 seconds. Now, you can't send a goalkeeper off for doing that, and he could have gone and given him a warning, but they knew that was frustrating. That's the only time Wenger showed any kind of passion is when Pantilimon was travelling with the ball. That's a basketball term when you're walking with the ball. Anyway, the Americans will love that to make up for the St. Patrick's Day thing. The whole thing was just, it was unlucky. That was it. It's just, that sums up Arsenal's season. Unlucky. How can you have 20 shots at goal during a home game against Watford? And we do it all season. I mean, Ozil alone has had, what, best part of 150 chances he's created this season. And poor old Giroud, he's just shooting them off, trying to kill people in row Z. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, we did put out, you look at the starting 11, Ospina, Gibbs, Gabriel, Chambers, Elneny, and Campbell. They're probably, there's 5 or 6 players that aren't our starting 11. But not much you can do when so many of them are injured. It's just unlucky. That's all it is. It's just unlucky, and just these things happen. Luck of the Irish.
There's a happy ending. There's a happy ending to the story when we'll get to it in a minute. But the funny thing on Sunday, well, it wasn't funny, but Mohamed Elneny was the only one who was prepared to shoot from like 25 yards out. And his first one probably sailed 20 foot over the bar. And his second one sailed about 10 foot over the bar. So I was praying that he was going to get the third one, and he did, but it wasn't on Sunday.
Well, I think that his willingness to have pot shots from distance, that will soon be beaten out of him. And Wenger will be going, no, walk it to the box, then walk it around the box until somebody takes the ball off you. Or if you must have a shot, close your eyes and put it over. Which
in
is
a cynical mood tonight, are we?
Well, I haven't sworn yet, have I?
Good.
I'm just resigned to the fact that this is what happens. This is, for me, our worst run since 1995, when the middle of 95, when it was the second Cup Winners' Cup run, when every single thing, we went loads of games without winning. Most of this stuff is just unlucky. It's not like we're not creating the chances. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of bad luck. Bad luck with injuries, bad luck with refereeing, bad luck with shots. And then the other teams are having shots from nowhere and they're going in. I mean, like a couple of times this season, people have scored world-class goals. If that number 17, the right-sided player, midfielder. If he did that 100 times, how many of those would go in? Probably not even one. That's how fluky that goal was. But when you're full of confidence, you take these shots, which we're not full of confidence, and we don't take the chances like that.
No. And, David, the FA Cup dream over after 756 days. Just how sad will you be to not be going to Wembley this year?
Very, because I've got used to it the last couple of years, and they've been two absolutely stonking days out as well. Well, four if you count the semi-finals.
And the Charity Shield is six.
No, I haven't. I must admit, I haven't done the Charity Shield.
No, I've never done one of them either.
Well, I have done back in the day, but no, not these last two. For me, it's still cricket season.
Ah, fair enough. And the toxicity amongst the fan base, and surely the last chance of silverware this season, Rami. Do you think the FA Cup slipping out of our hands is definitely the last chance for silverware?
My heart says something, my brain says something else. My heart says no, I think we can still, if we get a good run, but my brain says something else. I think it's too late, to be fair.
Sad times, truly sad times. Yeah. I shall end.
And the thing is, sorry, but the thing is as well, I think I saw somewhere that for the last 15 games, we have won four, and two of those four are against championship teams. And the third one is against Leicester with 10 men. And the fourth is against Bournemouth. And that shows that we are not even close to a run. I mean, and that's why I basically don't think we have a chance to win the title this year.
No.
And, I'm actually with you, Rami, because it's kind of, you can see in the players and their body language at the moment, it's just a complete and utter lack of confidence in themselves that they seem to have at the moment. But, you know, I'm exactly the same as you, and my heart prays that they can they've got to put one good performance together and hopefully at Everton on Saturday to set them up for that last nine game run. I think lose at Everton, bye bye.
Yeah. And we know Everton always is a hard one. I mean, it's never easy.
No, and they're on a bit. They're playing quite well themselves, and they'll be cock-a-hoop after beating Chelsea last week.
Oh, definitely so. I'll end it with a stat then. This is the first time since we've moved from Highbury that we've lost three home games in a row. Kate, your thoughts on that?
I don't think you really want my thoughts, really.
No?
No.
Do your thoughts not involve swearing or involve swearing?
Probably involve swearing.
Well, don't you say bugger in front of Rami.
We'll move on then.
I won't say bugger.
We're a family show.
Yes, we are.
Danny?
Hello.
Someone's told me here that we've got some Twitter questions.
We certainly... Oh, I see. You're mixing it up a little bit.
I'm mixing it up.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm all of a kerfuddle.
Right,
should we do Twitter questions to Rami?
Yes, let's do Twitter questions for Rami, then let's talk about the Barca game, and then we shall do some Twitter questions for everybody.
Wow, see, we did talk about this in great detail before the pod.
It's like this was planned.
Oh dear, right. Liam Gayhurst, don't chuckle, says to Rami, how good does he rate Ospina? Are some fans wrong for being so critical? And I am not one of those fans. I saw him play in the World Cup and thought he was fantastic.
I agree. I don't know why we should be so critical to him, to be fair. He had a tough start, obviously, in Champions League. But after that, I think he has been brilliant. Every time he got the chance, he has done well. Tottenham away was a great performance. And against Barcelona as well. So, I think still it's too early to say. I want to see him play 10, 11 games off. When Cech is back, then I can say if... but I don't mind him. I don't know why we should be so critical to him.
Oh, okay, well, this next one, I'm going to attempt to say their name. It's J-A-H-A-N, Jahan, maybe, and M-I-A-H, Mia. Anyway, he says, another one to Rami. How was your experience at Arsenal and training there as a goalkeeper?
Fantastic. My 2 years at the club, I had Bob Wilson as a goalkeeping coach and David Seaman. And then second year I had to compete with Jens. So it was a great experience for me. First year was, but to compare the first and the second year is like black and white. I mean, first year with David, he came, he was so calm, always on close to a laugh, and Stuart Taylor as well. And Bob Wilson, obviously, amazing guy, man. Second year, Jens came, the laugh was gone, and the hard work was there. I don't say the one is better than the other, but Jens was extremely professional on the pitch, off the pitch as well. But in the second year, I had Gary Payton as goalkeeping coach, and it was so difficult from the first year. But overall, I'm so happy and honored to be in part of the club for these 2 years.
One of our mates, Steve, he's an old-time gooner. He's getting on a little bit now. He has nothing good to say about Gerry Payton. He says that Gerry Payton is one of the reasons why over the last decade that our goalkeeping situation has been so hard. Is he right to think that Gerry Payton wasn't really a good goalkeeper as his career? So he thinks that means that he's not going to be a good goalkeeper trainer, or would you rather not say?
No, I can try to explain it a bit. I mean, only because you haven't been a good goalkeeping doesn't mean you don't have to be a good goalkeeping coach, first of all. I mean, look at the managers. There's a lot of managers that haven't been good players, but have been fantastic managers. But I think Gary Payton's trainings were good. I mean, the exercises. Then I think if you compare Bob and Gary when it comes to the social skills, I preferred Bob, how to handle players. So it's plus and minus, like it's in everything. I mean, but with Bob... obviously, he was a bit older as well, but we helped him out. We were like a goalkeeping union, if you say. But that goalkeeping union wasn't the same when Gary came. Not saying he was a bad goalkeeping coach or anything, but I remember it was a bit when Jens was on the bench and Almunia came in, and it was, you can handle things in certain ways. And I think the social skills was maybe not Gary Payton's strongest sides, if I'm a bit diplomatic.
Very good. Just if people are listening and they don't know about your Arsenal career, you made your debut in the Champions League. We played PSV Eindhoven at home and we drew 0-0 in the 12th of November 2002. What do you remember about that game?
I remember Colo Touré got sent off after like 11 minutes. Like Gabriel should have been against Watford. I remember obviously the clean sheet, a few saves from Mattia Kessman from PSV, fantastic fans. And one thing that is quite odd that I took with me, I remember the goalkeeper at PSV Eindhoven, Waterus, I think his name was, had the same goalkeeping shirt as I had, the same color and everything. Because we both were sponsored by Nike, if I can say that on the pod.
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. And it was exactly the same. And at the end, PSV had to win to go to the next stage. But we were already through. And after 0-0, and it was like extra time or something. Not extra time, but around the 90th minute, he came up on a corner. And I'm still surprised that it's difficult because he had the same shirt as me. And he went up on the corner and... it's so ridiculous to think about those things when it's your debut in Champions League. But I couldn't understand how the referees or anything could accept that he had the same shirt as me, because my players could have thought it was me that went up on the ball.
Exactly that.
That is a bit weird. And you'll be glad to know that season I saw 29 games and I was at that game. Were you there, David?
No, but I was at the next one when we played Tottenham 3-0.
Oh, yeah, that was my...
That's my next question to you, Rami. People, Rami's next game was at Highbury, 38,000 people there, 16th of November 2002. We beat Spurs 3-0, Thierry Henry, Freddie Ljungberg and Sylvain Viltord. What do you remember about that game? Because that should be a very good game to make your second game.
Yeah, it was an amazing day. The sun was shining. I remember I was standing in the tunnel on my way out, and already there you could feel we're going to win this game. Mentally, I think Tottenham was not, like, they knew, you saw it on their like body language, that they're never going to win this game. Thierry's goal, obviously, that's something you'll never forget. That must be one of his top two goals in his career, I think. I remember David Seaman giving a thumbs up for a save on a free kick. To beat Tottenham as your Premier League debut is something you will never forget.
Fantastic.
I was at that one as well. I only know these because I've got every game I ever went to, I've got it written down. And then the next game up, next game after that, you went away to Roma. We beat them 3-1 in the Champions League. So that was your first away game.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that game?
My thoughts was, it was the hardest one for me, to be fair. I remember us flying down to Rome, and it was me, David Seaman, and Stuart Taylor. And I think 2 hours before, or 2.5 hours before the kickoff, we always had like a team meeting in the hotel. We were sitting, the three of us, on the table, and I said to David Seaman, good luck. And he said, I'm not going to play. And I was sitting there like, okay. And I looked at Stuart, are you going to play? He said, I don't know. And that was so hard, because when he put up the team, the boss, in the conference room, I saw my name to start. And when you're not expected, you get nervous. I normally, when I played for the club, I never got nervous. I did before in my career, got really nervous, but never with the Arsenal. I don't know why, but anyway, I remember the warm-up. The ball was so slippery. It was like catching a soap. And I was thinking, oh, it was so hard. And after 4 or 5 minutes, Cassano scored 1-0. Hit the post and in. It was going to be a tough game, I thought. But then Thierry, obviously, his hat-trick saved us again. That's what I remember of the game.
Okay, we go on to your fourth game here. Another home game, Premier League. Played Aston Villa, we beat them 3-1. So that was Henry, had then got 5 goals in his last 2 games. Perez scored as well. Yeah. What was your thoughts on that one?
It was a evening game. It was fantastic as well. We were such on a run. I mean, we were doing so well at the moment. We scored. I conceded my first goal, I think, for the club. No, the second one because of Roma. But it was a screamer from, what's his name? Hitzelsberger, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
his
it,
left
German.
Foot. Yeah, his left foot. But I think that was the 2-1. I think we had 2-0. And it was a fantastic game. I mean, every game I played, I enjoyed. So.
And how about your last game? If people don't know, then it was
I didn't enjoy that one.
At Old Trafford, we were. It was 2-0. You got? Did you get stretched off? I know you went off injured.
Yeah, it was a goal kick. First, Veron scored 1-0. And then it was a goal kick. I was going to kick it out. And I felt I got like a perfect hit on the ball, but it didn't go anywhere almost. It went to Ashley Cole. And I felt that I pulled a muscle on my right thigh. So it was impossible to continue.
Yeah, then Stuart Taylor came on for you. And then
Paul Scholes scored the second one, I think.
Yeah, you're right. He did 73rd minute. Yeah. And then the next game, Seaman got back in goal, and Seaman was in goal for virtually the rest of the season. And then towards the end of the season, it was Taylor would play a handful of games, and then Seaman would play for a handful of games. So why didn't you play any more games after that for Arsenal? Because I know they sent you out on loan to, was it Brighton?
No, West Ham.
West Ham.
No, after that, when I came back from my injury, it was Christmas Eve, I think. I had an accident on the training ground. I broke my fibula and tibula. So I was out for until July or August. And that's when the boss took in the French goalie for 6 months.
Oh, Guillaume something, wasn't
it? Oh, Guillaume or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so frustrating. I mean, because I knew that if I would have been fit, I knew I would have got some more games that season. I know Stuart Taylor played against Valencia, I think, in the Champions League at Mestalla. And because the boss let me play when David didn't play, those games were so hard to see that I knew that if I would have been fit, I would have played those games.
I think he gave Stuart Taylor games towards the end of the season in the league, so he got the 10 appearances for a Champions medal, didn't he?
That was before. That was the year before, I think, because that year we didn't win. I think we played better football my first year at the club. We won the FA Cup, but the second year, that's when we went unbeaten. But I think football-wise, I think we almost played better football the first year.
And then later on in your career, you had a loan at West Ham, and then you had a trial with Leeds, according to this website, and then you went to Brighton, and then you went back home to Sweden. So, at least you played for Arsenal. You had two clean sheets, or 2.5 clean sheets, nearly. Oh, it's two, wasn't it? Yeah, because the other one you conceded one. So do you look back at your career and go, yep, I played for Arsenal, that's brilliant, or do you look back with a little bit of a regret because of the two injuries?
A bit of both, actually. I think I conceded 2 goals in 5 games, I think. Look at that, I should be happy, or 3 goals, sorry. Of course you wanted to play, and a lot of people say, oh, you were so unlucky, you broke your leg and everything. And at the same time, I was lucky I was at the club when I broke my leg, because to be in such a great club, when something like that happens, you can't be better cared of. People like care of you. You have the financial aspect is not like in Sweden. I mean, in Sweden, if you get injured, you don't get paid. You get paid from the social. So it's a big difference.
Plus, you represented your country 16 times. So
yes, World Cup 2006 and the European Championships 2008.
Gimli puts his hand up. I've got a question for Rami.
Yeah.
Rami, of course we know you come on our show and you wax lyrical about Arsenal. And is it fair to say that you are an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, I am actually. Well, not actually, but I was even before I came to the club. I mean, Anders Limpar, when he was at the club, I was a bit young.
Yeah.
I have always been Arsenal for me in England.
That's good. I'll continue with my question. But why do you think it is that so many Arsenal ex-pros always find their way back at the club, like we've seen Thierry Henry? You know, he goes on Sky, he clearly talks about, you know, he is an Arsenal man, Robert Pires. You know, so many of the ex-professionals talk about Arsenal long after they've left and continues to be fans. So what is it about the club that instills such love into its ex-pros?
I think it's the way they treat the players. But first of all, it's like to like Pires and Thierry, it's two legends in the club. You haven't heard that from other players than the legends. I think it's the same thing in the other clubs like Man U as well, if you look at the top players or legends in their clubs. But actually, I think they take so good care of the. I remember when I left the club, it was no problem coming there and training to borrow the gym and to be on the pitch to train a bit with the club. I mean, they see the person, not the player. And I think that's very important.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for answering. Danny, have we got any more?
Yeah,
go, let's have some more.
Waleed Omer says, do you think Ospina is a good backup goalkeeper, or is Chesney good enough to be backup next season? So I think he's asking, which one would you pick?
I think I would pick Ospina, to be fair, as it looks now. But like I said in the earlier question, I think let's see how he performed these games until Czech is back. Because I want to see him on a little bit longer run. It's very easy to judge people too early, or give a. It's always like that when someone comes. I always want to see them a few games.
Jolly good, right. Our mate Akshay says, when the outside world talks the way it currently does about Arsenal, what's the mood during training and when you're alone, if you're like a current Arsenal player? Or how was it in your day? But again, you didn't really lose much, did you, when you were there?
No, we didn't lose anything almost. So no, that's one thing. And the other thing is, like, now we have podcasts, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have everything. At my time at the club, now it sounds like I'm 80, but at my time, internet was so new, so there was nothing almost on the net. You had newspapers, obviously, but it's very individual how it affects people. You choose to read or you don't. It's like, I think I got this question a lot of times, and I think the press office at the club is amazing, at least when I was at the club. I mean, they could, like, it's like a filter. So it was always like Amanda came and said, oh, these papers want to talk to you. Do you want to do that? Fine. Or if I had a very much at the moment, I was almost always saying yes to those things. But sometimes you have a lot of things to do. I mean, you come to the new country, you have a family and everything. So sometimes, obviously, you have to nicely and kindly say, no, it's let's take it later. But the club sorted all those things out for you, like Amanda then at the press office.
That sounds very different now to how it was. There must be so much pressure now because players always getting in trouble for saying stupid things on Twitter.
Yeah, and pictures coming out and everything. Like,
yeah, mobile phone pictures of people in nightclubs.
Oh, yeah, it's so different from my time. I hate to say that, but it's 10 years ago.
I have to say that part of that is because back in the day, as it were, for us older supporters, access to the players wasn't as difficult as it is today. Because, of course, these days, Shenley, London, Colney, whatever you want to call it, it's like Fort Knox to get into. And I've been lucky enough to get a couple of invites in there on training days. But you don't get to see the players in matches other than when they come to say thank you at the end of the game or anything like that. Or unless you're one of those people that waits in the road outside the car park. But, you know, it's not like it used to be when you might get the team turn up in the pub that you're drinking in after the game.
No, exactly.
Sam Belazka, see, I think I got that right. He says, who would you like to see as a future Arsenal goalkeeper?
Oof, good question. It should be someone young then.
How about Damian Martinez, our young goalkeeper on loan at Wolves at the moment? Do you rate him?
To be fair, I haven't seen him play, so I can't say anything about that.
I don't think anyone's seen him play, especially the Wolves fans. He hasn't played all year.
Yeah, so it's very difficult. I can't say I have seen too less of him, to be fair.
So is there anybody in like some of the European leagues who is doing really well at the moment that you've seen, or any young prospects that you are? Because I can't think of a single one.
No, it's a very good question. I haven't thought about it. I mean, now we've got Peter. Petr Cech. Sorry for that.
He's just done you, Danny. He's just done you with the chamois.
There's one young goalkeeper I really like, Jack Butland, currently at Stoke. I think he has got a very good future ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen him a few times. But it's so difficult. I mean, at my time, I remember everybody said, oh, Paul Robinson, after David Seaman. And it comes and goes. I mean, let's hope Czech will be at the club for a long time. And then it will be You never know. I mean, it's so difficult, but a good question.
Oh, well done, Sam. Right, final question from Phil Simmons says, how was Rami's relationship with Mad Jens?
It was good. I had dinners with him. We went to coffee shops, obviously, because I love coffee. We lived like a few hundred meters from each other in Hampstead. So it was fine. He was a really nice guy. I mean, but it's so difficult to say because during trainings, it was not the same person. I mean, but fantastic guy and a guy I think that you could rely on. I mean, he was always there for you if you wanted to ask something or anything. He 100% professional.
Well, that's all the questions we've got for Rami, Mr. Gimli.
Wonderful.
Shall Mr. Shimley.
Yeah.
I don't get started, guff up, huh? Right then, our final topic tonight comes in the way of the Barca game last night and the 3-1 loss. So, Rami, would you like to talk us through this one?
Yeah, I could do that. I think we had a good start of the game. At the same thing at home as well. I think we started the games really the first half at home. But again, if you have a slightest chance to go through Barcelona, you need to score. I mean, first half at home, you need to score. Otherwise, you get punished. And that's what you did. The same thing at when we played away. I think we had a good start, belief in it. But you need to score. You can't play that high pressure football, not for 90 minutes. I'm not stupid, but you need to score the first goal away. And obviously, to lose to Barcelona was not that hard as to lose to Watford, for example.
No.
They have like players that score. So to lose 3-1 away to Barcelona is not the end of the... I mean, for me, it's not that bad. I mean, it's easier to defend that defeat than the defeat at home to Watford.
No, definitely so. I put something out on Twitter earlier, and I don't know about you guys, but you know, I'm sick of talking about the manager. I'm sick of talking about the owner, because I don't honestly think that either of those two things are going to change anytime soon. We could sit here and talk about Barcelona and really be quite negative, but we're going to search for the positives tonight. So that's what we're going to do. And Kate, I think we'll come to you next and we'll talk about the Iwobi penalty claim and Iwobi in general as a player. He looks good, doesn't he? And for you, is it a penalty?
100%. I think it was a penalty. I guess the dubious thing was that it was only a slight touch and then Iwobi caught his own foot. I guess that's maybe where the referee didn't decide, but we don't know what he was thinking anyway. But he does look promising, and give him a couple more years, I think he could be world class. It's a promising future.
And Danny, we've all been sold the dream. Theo Walcott, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and for me, neither have really fulfilled potential, or thus far fulfilled potential. Do you think Iwobi's different?
He's interesting. He was playing in the Ozil hole earlier this season. I think he might have been, was it against Watford or was it against Hull? I think it was against Hull in the FA Cup, was it?
Yeah, and against who did we play before that?
Burnley?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So he's versatile. He's obviously got an eye for goal. He's taking his time, which is good. Wenger is a genius when it comes to footballers because he knows more than I've forgotten. Which is, I've forgotten a lot, and that's saying something. So I can't remember the last time a proper youth product has got this many opportunities in this many games. For him to leave out, did he swap Sanchez over? Where would you say Iwobi played? Did Iwobi play on the right or the left?
On the left.
Yeah.
So
on the left, Sanchez on the right.
Yeah, so he's played in the Ozil hole, he's played on the left. I think a while ago he played on the right-hand side rather than Campbell. I'm not even sure what his best position is, but Wenger must really rate him to give him this many, and let him start away at Barcelona. And he looked good. I mean, he's big. He reminds me a little bit of Danny Welbeck, where he's quite bulky. He's got speed. He's got a good first touch. And his early games, he was being quite careful because he was passing the ball sideways. He was like the new Ray Wilkins. He was crabbing it everywhere. And now that he's getting forward, and when he does get forward, he looks very confident. And with the new interpretation of, or the current interpretation of the, of whether it's a penalty or not, that he was running at goal and the Barcelona defender hit his leg and then that knocked his own leg into the back of his ankle. Now, a lot of people look at that and go, it's the usual one where a player trips over his own leg on purpose to try and get the penalty. Well, even if he did, the player touched him first and knocked his leg. You can see his leg going one direction and then as soon as he hits him, then it falls into the back of his leg. So whether he was encouraged to trip over, it was still a foul. I mean, I don't think things like that should be fouls, but going by the currents, the way that they look at it, it was a foul. But Koscielny was terrible, and it was his first game back. I mean, our centre backs are having a hard time of it at the moment. Koscielny was at fault for both the goals. Ospina played his heart out, which was really good to see. Ozil is getting to the point. Ozil and Sanchez are both getting to the point where they're going, what is the point of me being here? It's like me having playing Gimli at FIFA. I just get fed up because I'm so good and Gimli's rubbish.
Oi.
Or that might actually be the other way around. Oi. There has got to be a certain time where you're going to go, I'm just on a different level to this lot. What am I doing here? And I've said it, as soon as we got Elneny and he started playing, that boy has got a goal in him, and he certainly has. People are saying that we're playing two defensive midfielders. I don't think Elneny is a defensive midfielder. I think he is a little bit like Ramsey. He's box a central midfielder. Yeah, a central midfielder who can get forward and hopefully have a few shots at goal. And I'd say the shining lights of that game last night was definitely be Iwobi and Elneny. I think they were brilliant.
Didn't Elneny come out after the game and he was quoted as saying something like, it's very rare that you find a defensive midfielder that doesn't attack anymore. So it's nice to hear that he has actually got the attacking play in his locker, and that's the way that his game is you know, geared up.
Yeah, and he had that in Basel as well. He scored a lot of goals outside the box in Basel. Not a lot, but he scored. And he wants to take the shots, and I think that's something that we have been lacking.
Do you rate him, Rami?
I do, actually. I think and I hope, because I'm half Egyptian as well. I think he'd do succeed in the club. I mean, he looks, I don't know him as a person, but he looks very humble. The only thing is that worries me, it's not actually him, but if you look historically, the Egyptian players, they had loads of players, fantastic players, but they haven't adapted to the climate in England. I think the only ones who have succeeded is like Midu, who played for Tottenham. He have like played. You had a few other ones, someone in Hani Ramsey in Bundesliga. But if you look at the quality of the players in Egypt that has gone pros, it's not a big percentage that have succeeded. But that's against him. But I hope I'm wrong.
One of the friends of the pod, Ahmed, he's in Egypt. I think he might be I'm not going to say. I was going to say maybe Ahmed is a Zamalek fan, but I'm not going to take that back because I've got no idea. Because we were talking about Mido and saying that it was shocking that Mido got sacked as Zamalek manager so soon. But he was saying that when he played for El Mocha...
Maulin El Arab. Say it correctly.
I'm never going to say anything correctly.
No, but that's
in
impossible. I mean, it's you have to live in Egypt to know how it's pronounced.
So how do you say it correctly?
Maulin El Arab.
Oh, there's no chance of me ever saying that.
Don't.
I'd refer to it as his Egyptian club. He said he remembers him playing there, that he wasn't anything, didn't do anything spectacular, but he was there in, 5 or 6 years ago, and he only played 35 games, scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
But it does look interesting.
Yeah, and Mohamed Salah, I think, was in the same club. The one that plays in Roma.
He's a decent player.
Yeah.
Yes, never got a chance at Chelsea. He's had 2 loan spells in Serie A and doing brilliant both times.
I think he's fantastic.
We'll go back to the game then, guys. And Neymar, Messi and Suarez were in sublime form. But do you think, David, it's fair to say that Barcelona never really got out of second gear last night?
Well, it might be fair to say that, and I'd be inclined to say they might have been a little bit surprised at how well we played after what we've produced in recent months. I think I tweeted somewhere, where's this Arsenal been since October? Because I thought that we were their match at pressing the ball for probably the first 75 minutes. I think the last 15 with the substitutions, the guys were getting, either they were getting tired or they had decided that was it and they were going to save themselves for the Everton game. But up until then, I thought the first 75 minutes we matched Barcelona for work rate. We probably had as much as the ball as they did, which will be the biggest surprise to everybody. So whether that was down to Barca perhaps being in third gear and us going up to fourth, I don't know. But certainly it was a surprise.
Mm. And overall, Kate, do you think the boys did themselves proud last night? I mean, it is the same old case of we've let ourselves down in the first leg and we've gone out and we've performed in the second leg, but, you know, a little bit too little too late. Did you think they did you proud last night?
Yes and no. There was spits and spots where they did, but there was other times when they just let themselves down, let us down, I guess, as fans. They could have played better, probably should have played better, but it is what it is. No, how many fans out there actually expected them to go out and win yesterday anyway? You could still keep up your hope and think, yes, we're going to win it, yes, we're going to win it, but deep down inside. But no, I don't think they've got anything to be ashamed of.
No. And again, it's a first round of the knockout stages, and Arsenal are out of the competition. Danny, same old Arsenal, always
same
beaten.
Same old Arsenal,
always beaten.
Cheating, always losing. It should be changed too. You know what? No one is really going to go there and beat Barcelona. That's it. I had us down as a, well, I said 2-0 to Arsenal, then lose on penalties because that would even hurt even more. But realistically, I thought 5-1. You're not going to go there and play against the three most informed strikers on the planet and do well, are you?
I thought the most interesting point that Arsene made after the game, and he was criticised for it, which I thought odd, was that he said that when we got it back to 1-1, if we score the second goal, then I think the miracle is on. And I actually believe that there might be some truth in that, because straight after the equaliser, if you remember, Danny Welbeck had that chance where he tried to get round and shoot and Mascherano threw everything in front of him to get the block in. Now, if that one goes in at 2-1, even Barca, with that front three, are going to be knocking knees a little bit because of what's gone on behind them. I thought defensively they were there. We created chances aplenty, and people were talking about Mesut Ozil not having a good game. But if you recall, very early doors, he slid a beautiful reverse pass into Danny Welbeck, who couldn't sort his feet out and knocked it out, and we got a corner when it should have been a goal kick. Then towards the end, he did exactly the same again with Theo Walcott, and Theo's first touch took him away from goal instead of into goal. But there were chances there for us all night. So I do think we could have got a result, but the fact that we didn't means now everybody's going to say, you don't know what you're talking about.
Danny, your favourite point of the game?
Flamini! Oh, when he tried to kill Iniesta. Oh, it was MMA gone wonderful. Fantastic. Well done, Flamini. If that's the last thing you ever do in an Arsenal shirt, well done.
Round of applause for the flame.
Should have been Busquets.
The flame flickers, but he will never go out.
No. Right then. I don't really think there's a lot of point talking about Barcelona in any great detail. It kind of is what it is. I think we all expected that kind of scoreline, although the boys played with a lot more heart than I think we all thought that they would do. So, Danny, with that said, let's go over to you for some Twitter questions.
We have our first WhatsApp question of the night. It comes from our very own Tom Canton, cheeky little monkey. He says, question for Rami. What does he feel about the Barcelona style of using goalkeepers, one playing all the league games and one playing all the cup games? That's a very good question, little Tom.
Yeah, and I don't believe in that. To be not believing that, but I remember Real Madrid did that as well with Casillas, and it killed his career. A goalkeeper, I'm maybe old-fashioned, but I think he needs consistency, and it's not like you are tired physically. I think that's something that to keep them both happy that you do that, and I don't think that's the right way to do.
That happened for our younger listeners way back in the day. David, tell them about the Clements Shilton situation.
What, me? Ray Clements and Peter Shilton? Yeah, they ended up playing alternate games, didn't they, for England? Yeah. From memory.
Yep.
Because you just couldn't put a fag paper between them.
And if you were any other goalkeeper, you didn't stand a chance. But I think Shilton got 120 caps, and I think Clements must have got about 60 or 70. Yeah. But either of those could have been number one for 15, 20 years.
Yeah. So that's we didn't mind Ray Clements when he was at Liverpool, but when he moved to Tottenham, I thought he was absolute garbage.
Boo. Anyway, on to the next question. Phil Paps. Hello, Phil. He says, would anyone on the panel have Mourinho as an Arsenal manager? Gimli, don't swear. What's your answer?
No.
Kate?
Not in a million years.
Rami?
No.
David?
No.
Oh, there was a pause there.
I was muted.
Burnley, the non-believer. And,
I was muted.
Would I have him? Well, at least we'd win stuff, but we'd all die of boredom.
Would we
then
win stuff, though, Danny? Oh, come on, let's be honest.
He'd bring all of his buses and he'd park them.
We have seen Chelsea implode this season quite spectacularly.
Well, at least it'll be fun.
I've enjoyed it, close brackets. But no, he would. You can't.
It would be as much fun as that time that you trapped your head in the washing machine door and you had to call the police to get you out.
And it wasn't the one that's attached to my neck.
Oh, you cheeky monkey. Right, La Flama Blanca says, with Theo and the Ox linked with moves away, how much do you think we can get for them and who could you see buying them? Thanks. That's okay, Mr. Flama Blanca. Rami, how much do you think we'd get for them and who would you like to see replace them?
I have no idea how much you could get for them, to be honest. It's, I think for themselves as well, I think it should be, the thing is the money is so ridiculous nowadays. I think they should stay in England if they are moving. I do. But money wise, I have no idea. It's so difficult. I have actually no good answer to that question. I think you guys have a better, much better answer than me.
I can give it a go, Danny.
Go on then.
Theo Walcott, 25 million to Liverpool to start with. And yep. I think you're probably looking Oxlade-Chamberlain, something like 30 million to Chelsea.
That is the kind of thing I can see happening.
I can see both, to be honest. Ooh.
What, they're thrown to both clubs?
Yep. I can see both happening.
So how much is How much do you reckon that is in Swedish krona?
Just see if... 30 million in Swedish krona is 300 million.
Oh, yes. That'll make the headlines. Yeah. Oh, dear.
You can tell you're working in finance these days.
Yeah.
Wow. It's,
and the pound is like my days. The pound was like £1 was 15 krona. Now it's 10 and 10.2 or something.
Oh, you're catching us up. We'll all have to come and live there and be billionaires.
Yay.
David or Kate, have you got an answer to the Ox Walcott thing or who you'd like to see them replaced with, or if at all?
Well, I'll go because I hate this kind of speculation all the time, so I don't really have an answer other than to point out, don't forget that you're talking about two homegrown players, so you're kind of limited, possibly limited, to who you're going to replace them with.
And we don't really have many coming through. We've got
no.
John Terrell and Dan Crowley, but I'm not sure they're really up to it or indeed ready. You got any views, Kate?
I don't think Ox will go. I think he'll stay. But Walcott, I can definitely see Liverpool. They've been after him for ages, and maybe now's the time.
Liverpool fan. He's a Liverpool fan.
The little kid inside of him is a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
That little boy's screaming to get out.
He certainly is. All right, we've got two more questions. One from Kaido, which is K-A-I-D-O. Says, it feels like the fans are in a foul mood. Well spotted. And nothing but a big change in the summer will change that. Do you disagree or agree? And he said, hashtag board and hashtag manager. I'm not sure where to go with that. While you're there, Kate, what do you think?
What was that? Which one out?
Yeah, they're in a bad mood. The only big change will change it. What do you reckon?
Definitely.
Do you agree?
Bored out. Ooh. I'm not
all of them or just Kroenke?
Kroenke. But you know, I was sat here during the match yesterday and I said to Gimli that it
get
was
off me. Stop touching me.
No, that's my breast.
I'm not a chicken.
He was in the kitchen at the time, so no, he wasn't touching. But it was a pivot, another pivotal moment in my history where I sat there and I looked at what was watching the match and I thought to myself, I don't think Wenger should stay necessarily, because I think we need a fresh injection of something. But at the same time, I'd be gutted if he left. We've been through so much with Arsene Wenger and he's brought so much to the club that although I think maybe now's the time, I'd still be gutted. So I don't know where I stand on that one, really.
Oh, dear.
I know.
Well, talking about Mr. Wenger leaving, there was a superb blog I read this week. It was it wasn't that one. It was the one before the Gunners one. What was it called? Who starts? Was it that one? Yeah, it was. Who starts Mission Impossible? David, what do you reckon? Because you wrote a bit of a blog involving, and of course you do one every day.
I think you're thinking. You. No, I don't. But I think you're thinking of the one beforehand.
The
seems
hardest
to be the hardest word.
That's it. You've done three in 3 days.
Ah, oh, these stupid games coming along in midweek. You have to preview then do the report. I had to write that one on Monday because it was I was at the game on Sunday, and I don't write reports on a Sunday when I've been to the game.
Yeah, it's the one hard.
Absolutely no state to. But
hardest word. Just go through roughly what you said in your blog. The hardest word at goonholic.com.
I made a shift of. My opinion as a result of what happened in the Watford game, because there was the FA Cup gone, and although I've not joined the chorus, if you read it, I haven't joined the chorus of those who want Wenger out at this moment, but I have pointed out that I've kind of said all along that as long as we're showing signs of improvement year on year, then he deserves the opportunity to spend the money that his labours have earned us. But it's now becoming apparent that this year we might not show an improvement on last season. The FA Cup's gone. The only way we can argue that there has been an improvement is if we finish higher than third. And for me, frankly, unless we win the title, I don't think second place is that much of an improvement. So with the qualification that if we don't win the title, I am coming to the conclusion that maybe Arsene's time, and I hate to say it, but he needs to perhaps review his options, because his tenure is creating such an atmosphere around the stadium, around the support, that I think it's only going to get worse next season.
Well, you did end it in sorry, Arsene.
Because I am very sorry to have come to that conclusion, because I would love to see the man reap the benefits of all that astonishing work he did when we now obviously realise there was no money. He did have to sell the best players up until about 2013. So then the new contracts were for the shirt sponsorship, the new kit deal with Puma kicked in, and so money became available. And it's great that we've got Mesut Ozil. It's fabulous that we've got Alexis. But then when you get to last summer and you think, right, now which world-class player are we going to bring in to help those guys out and just cross the line? We didn't even know last summer that Manchester United, Manchester City and Chelsea would gang together to present us with the league title.
And a platter.
By not buying some more quality last summer other than Petr Cech. And that was a great signing, I'll give you that. But it was, you know, pocket money. We could have added quality and depth to that squad and didn't do it. And for us not to win this league this year is going to hurt, particularly if you know who wins it.
And if people think it's tough now, like, although Gimli accused me of being Wenger out, you think it's tough now, Gooners, you wait till we get, if Wenger leaves at the end of this season, and then we get another average yes man in, because there's no one out there that we can get in that is, I think, that is going to be brilliant, and then you think this season's tough, you wait till next season, new manager, he tries to do things his own way, and it all falls apart. That's what I don't want.
But then you've got the divide again there, Danny. You've got
all of them never happy.
But all of the Arsene Inn people are going, there you go, you got what you asked for, and this is the situation that you're in. And then you've got all of the out people going, oh, well, give him some more time. And then it's like almost role reversal. So where does it end?
Rami, have you got any thoughts on this?
The thing is, it's so hard to talk about it, to be honest. He has been my manager for 2 years. He's the best guy I ever had as a manager. But he has one more year, right?
Yes.
On his contract, yes.
Yeah, I think he should play that out, to be fair. It's like he built the club, he built the finances. The thing that is so hard for me to handle is that this was the year when we really had the chance to win the title. I mean, if you look at Leicester is leading, obviously Tottenham is ahead of us. This, I don't think next year will be even harder to win, obviously. And we need a striker. If we would have bought a good striker that, you know, produced 20 goals, we would have won this league not by now. But saying that, I think I would give him another year. I hope he gets... Obviously, he have money now to spend. And if he thinks maybe next year is his last season, I hope he spend it, because he deserves to spend money, because he have been so...
Absolutely agreed. He earned it.
Yeah.
I think maybe like do like Alex Ferguson did and just spend the entire lot and just go for the title in your last season.
Yeah.
Kate?
What am I agreeing with? Sorry.
That maybe Arsene Wenger's got, which Rami was saying, Wenger's got one more year on his contract. It ends the end of next season. And then I suggested that maybe with all this 400 million coming, I don't know how much we get in any go, that maybe Wenger should just go one last season. I'm buying everybody and win the title, then walk away and go, there's me. Throw the microphone down as the young kids do and then just walk off into the sunset.
Yep. I think give him that last year, give him a chance to spend the money, see what he can do. Then he gets to leave on a high and with his head held up, and, you know, he does a Ferguson, leave while you're at the top.
If he did that, Gimli, would you run down to Cardiff and give our own Mr. Welsh Justice a big man hug and a kiss on the forehead?
I'd give him a reach around if he did that, to be honest with you. But that's
No, a new level.
No, but seriously, right, and it turns my stomach, right.
This has turned my stomach.
I am probably on the side of that. I think that Arsenal need to, you know, freshen things up, because sometimes it's not necessarily about the person that's in charge. It's about changing it, changing your philosophy and going again with a fresh new setup. And I think that's kind of the situation that we've got ourselves in at the moment. And I will stress as well that I see all those people effing Wenger this, effing Wenger that, he's a C, he's a this. And I think to myself, do you know, look what he's given you. Look at the memories that he's given you over the years. You know, we all loved Highbury. There isn't one person that went to Highbury and wasn't touched by the place and the memories it gave them. But he's given us this brilliant new stadium. And we've moved forward. We've built year on year. Like David said, look what we did with no money. Look at the whole, to quote Wingnut, net spend. You look at that, right? And you see just how much of a remarkable progression Arsenal have had over the years. I think in many certain ways that he's a victim of his own success, in the way that he changed English football when he came in. You know, the dietary requirements of the players, the way that they trained, everything. And he set a precedent that all of the other clubs around him followed. But unfortunately, where that's been taken and somebody else has had the baton and moved on with it, we've maybe fallen behind and we're stuck in our ways. And it's sad, but the main point that I'm trying to make here is that before you the manager off, remember the memories that he's given you. Remember the days out at Wembley. Remember the goals. Remember the sign-ins and the players that he's brought through. Thierry Henry, one of the best the club has ever seen. He was the man, You know, he bought him here. And you have to remember that before you're slagging the guy off.
Yeah, and that's what I'm meaning. It's like, and not letting him honor his contract. It's like, for me, it's so wrong. I mean, he should at least finish the contract he have. I mean, it's so wrong when, like, it's a different story if he want to leave. But I think it should be at least his decision this summer.
I think it will be Rami. I don't think anybody at the club is going to ask him to resign or anything. No. I think they're more than happy with the job that he's doing. Yeah. And I understand why. There's a bigger issue where now fans are starting to turn on Stan Kroenke as well. Right. Save your energy, boys, because that man has a history, does not have a history of selling his sports teams. He's bought an investment. He's going to cling on to that investment.
You know, I don't even care about him. You know, if you want to slag him off, do it all you want. He's not put a penny into the club. As fans, he has given us absolutely nothing apart from sit there and bleed us like a cash cow every single year. But Arsene Wenger has given us so much that even if you are Wenger out, you have to treat the man with respect. You know, there's ways and means of doing things, and going and shouting your mouth off Twitter and being truly disrespectful, it doesn't make you a martyr. It just makes you look like a complete... Sorry, Rami. I know.
No, I agree with you 100%, except of that C word, but...
Yes. But yeah, no, I'm going to put myself on mute now and take a drink. I apologise.
Okay, we're lighting this up with one final question from Walid Omar. He says, why can't we kick the ball into the back of the net? I mean, isn't that what football is about? Kicking the ball into the net? That's a superb question, Walid. Does anybody have an idea about that? Because I don't. I don't know what's going on.
That's a general lack of confidence. You look at Giroud. Giroud is at his best in the first half of the season when Walcott was also playing rather better than he is now. They were both scoring goals, but Giroud did it with aplomb. He gives it a little bit extra in that he can play with his back to goal. But ever since he's come back this year, he hasn't been, apart from those two goals at Hull, there's been nothing to give him confidence. There's a mis-slicing here and missing headers going, knocking him over. The man's shot. And I'd love to see him finish the season strongly, because I do think he is a 20-plus goal a season striker based on the way that he plays. But it is a confidence thing at the moment. They need badly a performance as well as a win on Saturday.
Anyone else got any words on why we can't seem to score? Or do you disagree with David? It's just a confidence thing and I think a bit of luck.
The thing about it is it's just frustrating that when you watch players like Mesut Ozil and that can put a ball on a sixpence and you've not got anyone that's clinical in front of goal or that's anyone that's consistently clinical in front of goal. I think that's the thing. When we've seen, like we've all said on here, how poor the league has been this year, and you know, I'm take nothing away from Leicester. If they win the league, I will be the first one there applauding them, because I think they've had a fantastic season and they do deserve it. But when you look at it in general, I think the most frustrating thing is that we haven't got that striker up front that has or could have converted most of the chances that Ozil would have put before them, and so close, but yet evidently so far.
I don't think I have any more. I did have one from Farami for myself. Would you ever write a book about your career? Because, I mean, you've played in three countries. You've represented your country. You've had an interesting life.
Would you publish it?
Put it on our website.
We would. Yeah, we'd do it. Why not?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I have got that question a few times, but I'm not ready for it yet, I think. And the thing is, I don't know, but here in Sweden, it's a lot of people writing books and stuff. And for me, it's a lot of like attention seeking. I don't know. Maybe the culture is different in Sweden if you compare to England. But a lot of people who write books here in Sweden, it's like, I want to make the last money to get something out of it. And I don't want that to be the case. I'm not sure, to be fair.
Well, I think if you did, many football fans would buy, not just Arsenal fans or Sweden fans, because it's an interesting story of your travels on all the different continents and all the stuff that you've done and your obvious love for football itself.
Probably. Let's see. You can ask me that question next year, maybe.
We will. Right, Gimli, that's all the questions. There's been no more questions. That's... We've been going about an hour and about an hour and a half nearly.
And it's nearly 10:15 for Rami.
Yes. So we'll just round this off then with some predictions for the Everton game and some shout-outs, and then we're all done. So that should take about 5 minutes. We'll do the predictions then. Danny, you first.
It's going to be 2-0. And Lukaku, Christopher's favourite, not Christopher anymore, is it? He changed it. Chris's favourite player, Lukaku.
Wonderful. David?
We're bouncing back. We have to. I've got to be positive. 3-1 to Arsenal. And first goal scorer, let's go for Danny Welbeck.
Lovely stuff. Rami?
I think we win 2-1. El Neni.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Kate?
Well, David stole mine. So I'm going to go for 3-1 El Nene.
Okay, and I'm going 2-0 Welbeck. And shout-outs. We'll go back to front. Kate, your shout-out first, please.
Oh, I have two.
Because two?
I just, two. Because, I know, because I just asked for them on Twitter.
You've carpentered us again.
I have. Sorry, Chris. Carpenter out. Anyway, my first is for Paul, who is at Paul0970, because he sent me a funny vid of apparently Arsenal choking syndrome from YouTube. It's a bunch of guys walking around pretending to choke wearing Arsenal shirts. It made me chuckle at the time. And my next one is for Humans of the Arsenal, who are at Humans of Arsenal. They run a photo blog of the same name that shares stories and photos of Arsenal players. There's quite a good one on there of Iwobi at Boreham Wood, I noticed.
It's very good. If you go back far enough, I'm on it.
Oh, are you?
Kate.
What?
Who's that clanging around in the background?
It's not down here, so I'm guessing it's upstairs. I don't know.
It sounds like it's down there. Okay.
Pup with food tray.
I can say it's me if you want. I'm here. The cats are doing the washing up.
Danny with food tray, probably. I've seen the bowl that he eats his ice cream out of. It's like a mixing bowl. Rami, have you got anyone you'd like to give a gentleman's nod out to, shout out?
This bit I'm so bad at, to be honest. But I will tell, I'm so happy El Neni scored his first goal for the club, and I hope it's not the last one. I hope he scores against Everton again.
Here. I'll go with that one. David?
Yeah, guy, funnily enough, who started following me after I first did one of your podcasts, one of our podcasts.
We've made you, David. We've made you. We own you.
Yes.
So his Korosh is his name, but he goes under the handle of at Kaymo, @KAYMO_78Gunner. And his bio says he's a lifetime gunner, lives in Germany, football addict, and he always has a little chat with me in the mornings and what have you. So he's in.
I was going to say, David, you when we agreed to the contract of you doing a year for ABW, you took the Twix and you ate it. So there is no backing out. Danny?
I'm going to have two because I can. The first one is the Swedish Freddy at FREDRIKDANELL. His bio says, huge fan of the AFC podcast. We keep trying to get him on as one of our favourite Swedish players. He might be a player. Who knows? He actually won one of our shirts in the competition we did. We gave some shirts away. And he's brilliant. And my other one is one of my other favourite, as we're doing a Swedish night, is Lina. That is at LINA. AFC_, and she's a student in Sweden, and she is she's very good. She's had an entire sleeve done tattoo wise with little bubblegum stickers that you do, so she's building them up. She's got three on at the moment, so there, my two shouts go to two of Rami's countrymen or
Wonderful.
Country lady.
Wonderful.
And mine is going to...
You're not allowed to have one. Everyone else has had too many.
No, I'm going for a man on Twitter you might know from this podcast. He goes by the name of Philippe Fallop. It is at JasonDavies71. You might notice that I'm a bit nasally tonight, and I have been on mute occasionally for the odd coffee.
Hello!
Hello. I hate him so much. I don't even know why I'm giving him the shout out. But,
we love him.
He seriously bailed me out last week when I was practically at death's door with man flu. I was literally minutes away from death until Kate ran upstairs with the Beechams.
Beat you with it.
Yes, they had the packet.
The packet at him.
I'm only small. I'm about the size of a Kinder egg with legs, with little pipe cleaner legs. He bailed me out last week when I was unfortunately very ill, and he did a wonderful job of hosting the show.
All right, steady on here, that bloody good. He shouted at me and called me a rude name.
I know, but you deserved it.
You've got a point.
You deserve it every week.
He was the one who today rang me and went, Rami is waiting. He's waiting on Skype. He wants to know where you are.
Waiting to go to bed.
Yes.
Can you imagine all the rude words you would have been called if Rami wasn't here? So really, you should be thanking him, Danny.
You are my saviour. And I might try and find some of the swear words Gimli's put in and try and bleep them out just in case Rami wants to play it to any of his friends.
Do you, Rami?
If I can find them.
Say again?
No.
I said, do you want me to try and bleep out the Gimli swear word so you can play this to the people that you know?
Of course.
Oh, that's only about 5 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel bad because I've said a Northie in front of a ex-pro. I feel bad. I haven't felt this bad since we had David Hillier on and I said that dreaded B word. But that's a different story for a different podcast. So all that's left then really is to thank all of my panelists tonight. Danny, Kate, David, and of course the wonderful Rami. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for being with you.
I have to be here.
You do have to be here because you are the button monkey. But yes, Rami, every time you come on, you are an absolute gent. And as I say to the boys, every time I drop you a DM, you get back to me literally within 20 minutes and you're like, yep, we can go at that date. You are the nicest ex-pro we speak to and have involved with this podcast. So thank you for just being awesome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure every time. So just give me a DM and I'll be there.
Thank you so much.
And if anybody wants to follow Rami on Twitter, it's at @SHAABANRAMI. It's not Shammy. So yeah, we're always tweeting about him when he's coming on. So just go and give him a follow and be nice to him.
And if you see him about, buy him a coffee.
Buy him two coffees.
That would be great.
So that was a Burkamp Wonderland podcast. Thank you so much for listening and keep it Arsenal. Good night.
Hello!
It's on the start of the podcast, not the end.
Sorry, as you were. I keep on falling in love with you. Sometimes I love you. Oh, there we go. We're all done.
Excellent.
And I didn't call you Shammy once. Yes!
Only once. It's fine. Yeah?
I'm pretending I didn't.
That's it. Just insult the man once. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
At least I didn't use the C word in his presence, unlike you.
I know. I got caught in the moment. I apologise.
He has no shame, Danny. You know this.
He's a bad man.
Terrible.
That's good stuff.
All right.
Thank you, Rami. We understand
Thank you
it.
Very
Thank
much.
Thank you ever so much, Rami. It's a pleasure.
Now it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
All right, cheers, Rami.
Cheers. Thank Take you. Care, everyone.
All right, bye.
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 Can't take you anywhere, can we?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can, but you have to take him back a second time to apologise for the first.
Now, do I order something, Kate? Or do I cook something? I'm not sure what to do.
Order it. You're fat order enough it. It is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, but if I got all the editing and stuff to do...
Well, just why are you even trying to talk yourself into buying takeaway?
It costs money. If it's free, I wouldn't think about it twice.
You've got money. Just buy takeaway and add to the fat.
It's not fat, actually. I have chicken tikka kebab, and I don't eat the bread.
Don't tell me you think that shit's healthy.
Well, it's just drowned chicken down in one of those pot things where they slap it to the wall.
It's practically cooked in grease.
Do you get it from the kebab shop, Danny?
And if anyone says no,
it's
dry.
It's not done in a cooker. It's not done on anything. They're just on a shish thing.
Oh, you have That's the shish one. I have shish. That's healthy for you, that is.
I know. Thank you very much. Shut up, Gimli, you minge.
You are the kind of person that thinks a Big Mac is 3 of your 5 a day.
No, it's 4. I ate the box as well. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Right.
That was brilliant.
I'll tell you what, superb timing as well. Absolutely superb.
Is your pint just run out, David, by any chance?
Yeah, exactly that. My second one.
Oh,
two tins in with me.
My can's just gone and all. I'm going to have to go downstairs and just finish a spliff as well. Thank you very much.
Danny.
Yes.
I'm a convert.
Well, what to? Lesbianism?
Samsung.
Oh, you got a new phone?
No, but I will do at the end of my probationary period.
Well, once you get out of prison,
yes.
for licking the buns in Tesco's,
no.
Are you going to get an S7?
I'm getting the S7. Have you seen them?
I've got an S4. Yeah, I've seen the S6 because Sexy Frank has an S6. Sharon's got a 5. Ren's got a... what's the bigger one than the S6? It's the
S6 Edge.
No, the almost bigger screen. Note, is it the Note?
The Note, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the Note 2 or 3. Anna's got an S5, I've got an S4. Everybody I know used to have iPhones and they're going, why the fuck would I want a phone where you can't expand the memory? Fuck off, like I've got a 64 gig card in mine.
Do you know, the S7, you can expand up to 200 gig.
256.
Blimey. No, it says 200 on our spec sheet.
No, because they don't do a 200 card, they do... 64, 128, 256, then it's 512, 1024, which is 1024 is a gigabyte. Write that down, ladies and gentlemen. I might use this as the extras and then give you a little bit of knowledge.
Oh, no, but seriously, do you need to upgrade anytime soon on your contract?
Yeah. No, I don't have my contract is SIM only, £5 a month. Thank you very much. I don't waste money on phones. I've had this for 3 years.
Well, you should get the S7. They're lush phones.
This
one... Oh, my God.
Still, not even a scuff on the screen. Have you got a phone, David, or don't you believe in such nonsense witchcraft?
They don't have that technology in Sweden, do they?
I've got some foreign something or other that I use for Android just to test that the site works in Android.
That's dedication.
I've got a really ancient Nokia, the first music phone they did. Was it the Rocker or something?
I've got about 8 old Nokias.
Yeah,
Nokia don't exist anymore.
No,
they've been bought out by Microsoft. That's why the Lumias are now Microsoft Lumias,
That's
not Nokia Lumias.
That's why they're trying to force Windows operating system, Windows Mobile, I think it's absolutely. That's why you can now buy the Nokia phone with a Windows OS with for £20. God, brand new
phones. They're brand new one. It's horrible. Yeah. It's shocking.
It's poop.
It really is. It's square. Do you remember back when they first bought the touchscreen mobiles out and they were all block square?
Well,
it's awful.
I had a Prada
screen.
Phone.
Did you?
I did. I had the Prada phone.
Bless you. And how did you cope with that?
That was considered hip and trendy in the day.
Did you have it in your man bag?
Yeah.
No, bum bag.
You had a bum bag and a fanny pack. And both.
funny enough, they were only 2 inches apart.
Hey!
I'm I'm a definite convert because, you know, we sat in the room and we were being talked to about it and we took pictures of ourselves. The camera on the S7 makes your skin look flawless.
Radiant.
It really does. Your skin is perfect. But you take the picture on the iPhone 6S, and I don't know what tech spec the camera is on that, but the picture quality, shit. And it's only a 12 megapixel camera on the S7, which is 4 megapixels less than what it was on the S6, but the camera's better.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Usually it's the lens is better.
Apparently.
It's not the lens, it's because every morning you wake up with a face full of man milk. moisturised to within an inch of your life.
No, it's because it's less pixels, but the pixels have been made bigger, so the camera sharpens quicker, and therefore your pictures are sharper.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, boys, I found the best thing I have seen on Twitter quite possibly this year. I am about to post it in. It is a picture. I think this is absolutely brilliant. Have a look in the podcast group.
Oh, so how much will you be able to get the S7s for? Do you get a massive discount because you work there? Don't say who you work for because I'm going to use this as the extras.
We get 75% discount, so I would get...
I'll have 50 of them.
I would get... The handset would cost me $29.99 up front, I think. And
so if you wanted to buy it outright?
I don't know if I wanted to buy it outright. I haven't looked at that, actually. But my contract a month would be... £12.47.
Oh, Arsenal Griff, what have you done?
Oh, Arsenal Griff, you are a hero.
I think I know that account.
Ah, dear.
It's familiar.
While we're doing this advertisement, do we think Samsung have been divorced from Chelsea long enough? That's the reason I don't have anything by Samsung. On that side.
I still won't have Vodafone. Oh, Arsenal Griff follows me. And I'm going to go and retweet that. Although I do like... And I follow him. Oh, there you go. He's one of the chosen few. I still won't have Vodafone. And I still won't have... I wouldn't go anywhere near Holston Pills if you paid me.
That's
so old school. Sharp, they can bite me.
I think they've been away from them long enough, David. From holding the phone and being able to play with it for... 3 hours. I think they've been divorced long enough.
I might have a think about it because I think I'll probably have to do a new phone soon.
Oh, I could recommend you a good deal on a certain network.
Is it going to beat Tesco Mobile's £10 a month?
Mine's £5 a month for Tesco's Mobile. And I get about 450 minutes. I get, I think, 500 megabytes of data and 5,000 texts for a fiver. I do have three accounts with me and the offspring and my mummy, who I bought my mum an S4 as well. Oh, she loves it.
See, you'd get a very good deal on multi-plan savings, Danny, if you went to my network.
Not for a fiver each, I wouldn't.
Well, no, not for a fiver each, but...
I do keep getting tit pics off my mum, which is never good. I say tit pics, they're pictures from my brother with a nipples on his head, because he looks like a giant tit.
Oh, dear.
He does. He looks like a potato.
Can you post a picture in the WhatsApp group?
I found another one. Someone's done another one of that DT screaming to a goal, and behind him he's got Barry Chuckle, Joseph Fritzl, Alphabets from Home and Away.
He's got the Toad.
He's got Captain Mannerin. He's got fucking...
Bono.
Yeah, Rolf Harris, Jimmy Savile.
Chuckle Brothers.
All in the crowd as well. Bono! I see fucking Bono!
That's because Bono will get anywhere.
And why is Bono in with all that lot? What's Bono ever done?
Make shit
music. I think
music.
We've lost Gimli.
Oh my word, don't do drugs.
Somewhere. You are
DT
somewhere
will see that.
The ears. I
DT
haven't
will
been
laugh
for a long
at it.
Time.
He'll think it's funny.
New series of Ghost Adventures on tonight.
coughing up. Might be a
tanner. All right, that's going to be the end of the extras, just in case Gimli says anything libelous. Say goodbye to the people who stayed on for the extra 30 seconds.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sausages.
I'm having a poo.